today?
It's wonderful, Scott.
Oh, you're sounding a little under the weather, Martin. How can that be?
Oh, heck, that was just my attempt at satire. I'm not under the weather. I'm under the impression that somebody's trying to really scare the bejesus out of everyone.
Boy, I think so. I was just checking out Google News, and there's all this information about this new flu, and I think this flu is insulting to pigs because they're calling it the swine flu. Like, you swine, you have the flu. And
I actually heard that, I don't know which country it was, banned the importation of pork.
Oh.
I mean, it's just insane.
It has nothing to do with pigs, right?
Well, you know, you can get this flu from a pig, from the saliva or from the snout, right? Like if the...
Oh, yeah, like everybody goes up and, you know, pats the pig on its snout.
Well, you know, once you kill the pig and skin it and take the meat off of it, like, you know, there's zero, I mean, 0.000 to the ninth chance of that virus have anything to do with any pig products.
Right.
I mean, pork products. This is not to say that I support it. I personally don't eat it, and I think it's a wrong thing for anybody to eat pork. But that's another story.
Right. Well, at the time that we're talking, Mexico has said that about 159 people have died from this flu.
Yep.
There have been about 14 confirmed cases in California. A young child just died from it. It's making all the headlines. I think the cruise ships, I just was talking to a friend of mine who's in the travel business, the cruise ships have canceled cruises to Mexico for the next 2 weeks, so you can't cruise to Mexico.
This is just so wild.
And not only that, oil futures have dropped because they feel swine flu is going to weaken the economy even more.
Right. Well, and so it will, because, you know, here's the weirdest thing. So in the United States, there are 36,000 deaths from flu every year. Right? General flu, that's what... If you
not the fancy death, ones, just the regular
everyday flu. Well, influenza, whichever they are. So 36,000 people a year, that would be 3,000 a month, that would be, what, 100 a day?
Yep.
Okay. So we have one confirmed death, and we have 14 students confirmed as not feeling too well. So, yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just off my rocker, and that there's really something big coming. But at this point, I just don't see it.
No. So one of the things that amazed me as I was just sort of checking out the news was how quickly everybody was rushing to come out with a vaccination process for the swine flu.
Right.
And, I mean, if that's not just a dollar sign ka-chinging in the eyes of the corporate pharmaceutical...
Well, I wouldn't be so rash to judge just them. I mean, I'm just as ready to step into the marketplace and offer my solution as they would be. You know, a commercial interest is a commercial interest. The silliness of it, of course, is that, as usual, their solution is really wrong-headed and, you know, comes at it from the wrong direction. Like, I actually heard a commentator who's supposed to know stuff to say, you know, wash your hands, don't spit on stuff, or don't let people spit on you, and get a flu shot. Which
right.
is like, I mean, the insanity of it just gets me. It's going to take 6 months to develop a vaccine that has a chance of covering this one. And you're going to take a flu shot for the stuff that was last year? Anyway. Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
And, well, it's zero sense. It's
So I guess here's my point. Is you've just said it'll take 6 months for it to come out. If you take the regular flu shot, it's for last year's flu, not this year's flu, so it's probably useless. And that exactly was my point, was they're going to advertise and get all this stuff out, get the doctors pushing and everything else, something that is ineffective. And if there's anything I know about you, you're all about effective things. And in fact, one of your suppliers sent you an amazing little email, and I'm hoping that we'll have time for you to read all or part of it, because I just thought it was absolutely amazing.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. We have recently introduced this product. It's called FluStop, appropriately named. Actually,
Are you going to rename it to Swine FluStop?
No, actually, he's telling me that he's not able to import it in large quantity into the United States because FDA will not let him do that because he has the product named incorrectly.
Mm.
You know, like
you
cannot have...
call it FluStop?
No, you cannot have the name of the illness in the name of the product.
Oh.
Because that's instant advertising and it's an instant claim. And so, you know, that's wrong.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's... But anyway, we have it in stock and we can ship it. And we only have the last 17,000 bottles on hand.
So you're ready.
We are. We have... mailed about it about 2 months ago when I first introduced it at the end of the spring break or at the beginning of the spring break, and we've had some people take it, and you know, we had actually some feedback on it already. I don't know, there are a couple of reviews in the FluStop already. One was a fellow that lives in Hawaii. He's a priest in a alternative church, and he wrote, "This stuff really does work." I'm ordering more. I've done business with this fellow for some time, and he's quite, you know, spiritually aware and nutritionally aware, and he really knows his stuff. Anyway, his integrity is fairly high. And then this other one was from a customer of ours. She writes, "I travel quite a bit, and inevitably, despite the use of a mask in the plane, I usually end up getting sick from the plane travel. Using FluStop kept me healthy, even when I forgot a mask on my last flight."
Wow.
Definitely recommended. So anyway, FluStop is a really comical product. What that does, it inhibits the layer of the outside of the virus from growing these little tentacles that enable one virus to communicate with another and expand or multiply.
Oh.
You know,
okay.
Like it's as if sort of like... Yeah, it's a sort of like a condom.
A condom for viruses.
Except it's not, right? It's a fatty layer that gets inhibited.
And this is a good fatty layer, as opposed to some of the fatty layers we were talking about in our previous podcast.
Oh, Lord, yes. Yes,
There's good fat and there's bad fat, right?
Yes.
And,
anyway, this FluStop works exceedingly well, and it's manufactured at a proper GMP certified facility, and it's all natural stuff. You know, these are just some herbs that have, you know, it comes from a traditional Chinese recipe.
Ah, okay.
So it's all natural. Anyway, you have that email somewhere here. Why don't you quote from it?
Sure. "Hello, Martin. I just wanted to thank you for your business thus far this flu season. I'm excited that so many of your clients have appreciated the value of the product. I really enjoyed hearing about some of your testimonials, like the one below, which I found on your website, and that was the one about traveling quite a bit. Also, I'm sure you've heard about the swine flu. The good news is that we are fully prepared to handle matters for those who want to seek help. The swine flu virus is of the influenza A type, and as you know, we have proven that we can inactivate all influenza viruses. So please let your people know this. We have interest from the Mexican government, and I'm going to the embassy tomorrow to talk about it. Please tell your people to be very careful when traveling and to wash their hands often. I cannot tell you how to protect themselves in circulatory environments like airplanes except to wear a mask or use FluStop. I was on my way back from Texas on Monday and saw people wearing masks. I simply used my FluStop during the flight, after the flight, and before going to bed. I wish I could have told the entire aircraft to use FluStop, but I didn't want to get thrown out at 30,000 feet. Talk to you soon, Greg, CEO."
Yeah, Greg is the CEO of the company that developed the FluStop. And, they actually have it in a couple of airports in Canada, and they also have it with several sports teams. This thing works. It, you know, when you start getting the feeling in the throat that, you know, it's coming, you just start spraying it, and it will not evolve. you know, how, you know, you get this first twinge of a flu. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, shoot, I think, oh, I hope not, but I think it might, you know.
Yeah.
That's when you start using it, and it'll stop it. It will never get past that stage. We have so many people who have used it, they don't miss a day at work or maybe take half a day off.
Actually, I have another little testimonial from Mindy that I just want to read. Every winter for 11 years, I've experienced 3 to 6 months of severe bronchitis resulting in horrible coughing attacks, trouble breathing, and lack of energy because my lungs are so sensitive. I've also developed dust and chemical allergies. I've spent a lot of money on asthma and allergy inhalers, codeine, cough syrup, natural remedies, teas, immune-building products, all with hopes of curing or preventing my next 3 months spell of coughing. I've had no groundbreaking results from any products I've invested in over the past 10 years. A friend gave me FluStop which I used for 2 days, and I could not believe no more coughing. I thought this would be short term, but it continues to this day. You cannot imagine how happy I am. 3 exclamation marks. It is amazing being able to do all my favorite active things in life again. I'm so fortunate to have finally found something that works for me. She actually said cure, but we might get in trouble if we actually called it a cure.
Oh, she said it. I suppose we could quote her. I suppose not, because that's, of course, bad.
Yeah. We would hate to get in trouble because somebody said there was a cure for something.
Right. Now, all we know is that the symptoms of flu stop when we start using it. So it should have
for
been
Mindy.
Called... Yeah, for Mindy. Well, it works for others. Oh, dear. Yes, Scott, you are correct in your analysis of how we should speak.
It's just totally amazing to me.
Well, anyway, so, you know, flu. I mean, let's just review the total basics of the basics. Number one, you get the flu only if your tissue is acidic. If your tissue is properly balanced, alkaline, you do not get the flu. Doesn't happen.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to get the flu, drink lots of sodas, eat a lot of cooked meat, don't exercise, load up on sugar and donuts, donuts, coffee, and all of that, and eat a lot of bread and pasta.
Okay.
That'll do it.
If you decide you don't want, then drink lots of alkalized water.
Yeah, drink alkalized water. Yeah,
okay.
Perfect.
Raw foods.
Yeah. How about this? Freshly squeezed lemon juice every morning.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
You know, that's the most alkalizing, natural thing going. Apple cider vinegar. You know, 1 ounce a day. One of the most alkalizing things. It has to be apple cider vinegar with mother. You know, the old natural thing.
Sorry, say that again.
Apple cider vinegar with mother.
With
mother is essentially the stuff from which the, you know, it's like the fermentation culture.
So what you're telling me is don't go into the vinegar section at my local grocery store and pick the apple cider vinegar there.
No, go to your health food store and get the Braggs, Braggs brand.
Okay.
They're real good.
And it's probably refrigerated, right?
No, it's not. No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's so acidic, nothing will live in it.
If it's acidic, how come it can be alkalizing to me?
Uh-huh. It's some kind of a thing.
It's magic?
Yes. When you take certain minerals into the body, they have either acidifying or alkalizing effect on your body. And it's very much not connected to what the starting pH is.
That's been something that I've always wondered about, right? It's because you could take this stuff in and it was the opposite or whatever, but it had an acidifying or alkalizing effect. Like milk, they say milk is alkaline, right? But
yes, it is.
The result is you get more acidic.
Right, because you're taking in pasteurized milk proteins, which means cooked proteins, which means just like cooked meat, same
very
story.
Acidic. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, acidifying. Yeah. So those are the two basics. Of course, more salad, more stir fry, less bread, less pasta, less fried chicken.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad news.
Well, you know, I can I can eat at Wendy's or McDonald's. They have healthy stuff there.
Right. The good news, though, is we don't have to worry when people panic over these flus.
I don't. Then there's the other thing, which is lecithin. Lecithin is the universal emulsifier in the human body. And the viruses are coated in fatty layer that makes them disguise themselves from the human immune system. Because when it first starts, there are not that many of them. So if your immune system sees them for what they are, they get zapped very quickly. But they have a fairly effective coating on the outside, so your immune system doesn't recognize it for what it is. If, however, you have supplemented with lecithin, have plenty of that on board, you will notice that that you don't get sick.
Right, right.
Now, the mechanism of action is that that the lecithin strips the fatty layer off of the virus. It's like taking the sheep's clothing off of the little wolves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so affordable, too. I mean, lecithin, we sell a 3-month supply for $25.
Perfect. Well, I was just I just went to Google because they had a Google map showing where the problems were and where it was like not at all or where it was minimal, and the activity they say is low, and it's quite interesting because of course it's all, everyone is worried about Mexico, and you know the incidence is low in the majority, and it's high or kind of moderate to high in two little spots. So,
right.
You know, this is a case of. And I feel sad for the people that passed away, right? But
yeah.
It really is a tempest in a teapot.
Well, you know, give me the number of children died of hunger today.
Yeah.
I think we'll be in close to a million and a half. So, I mean, yes, my heart goes out to the mother of the child that died of this influenza, but it's just a, you know, society-wide thinking big picture, that's such a little bit.
Yeah.
If only we put our energy on dealing with food distribution and keeping people from doing stupid things like raising pigs.
Well, every day almost 16,000 children die from hunger-related causes. One child every 5 seconds.
That's right. Yes. Isn't that crazy? Why aren't we absolutely, what shall I call it, screaming from the roofs or talking about this in every newscast?
Yeah. In 2006, almost 9.7 million children died before they reached their fifth birthday. Almost all of these deaths occurred in developing countries, four-fifths of them in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia.
Well, I guess we're a bit of a racist society that we don't really want the blacks to multiply so quick.
And that came from Bread for the World.
Yes.
Bread. I got to comment on your comment. I'm just going to tell everyone where I got the facts from, just so you know that I didn't make it up.
Yeah, it's so funny that the organization is called the Bread, right?
Yeah.
I'm certainly not a big fanatic for bread as a successful nutrition.
I think where that came from is the. Three fish and two loaves, or three loaves and two fish that
yes.
were on the sermon. That's the bread.
Yeah, I imagine. Well, anyway, so yes, it's a big deal. I wouldn't want to have anyone dying prematurely, but we have such greater problems than this.
Right, and if you're concerned about it, which... You know, it's flu season, and everybody has that opportunity to get a flu. You can go and take... So let's talk about vaccines, right? Because I was going to say, you go take a vaccine or you can take flu stuff. But Okay, you know, what are some of the issues with vaccines?
Well, okay. The first thing is that vaccine is always a targeted thing, which means that...
goes after a specific flu?
It goes after a specific organ.
Strain?
Yeah, specific strain. So you have this, you know, let's just say you have 10 strains covered in the particular mix of a flu shot. And it's a crapshoot. They're always guessing what it might be. And so you are going to be covered for that particular segment. But if something new develops, just as this one is completely different, the vaccination covers nothing. Absolutely nothing. All it did really was challenge your immune system. And it doesn't make you stronger. I mean, one interesting statistic was that older people now, who took flu shots 5 years in a row had doubled their chance of dying prematurely. I mean, we all are dying, right?
Yeah, but I understand. You're talking prematurely.
Yeah. So, you know, taking a flu shot is not a helpful thing. It's a convenient thing. I mean, another issue with vaccinations, of course, is how has this, what shall I call it, living creature, whether it's a virus or bacterium, been killed? Because you want to insert them into the body in a weakened state, weak enough not to activate, but strong enough to actually stimulate the response. I don't know if you could look up 1976 flu vaccination campaign directed by President Gerald Ford. A lot of people died from that vaccination campaign, and it was just another flu scare. There's another vaccination campaign underway for a product called Gardasil to inoculate young women just before they start being sexually active. It covers them against human papilloma virus, which is possibly a cause of increased chance of cervical cancer. So, again, thousands of girls who are inconvenienced. There are dozens who have died already. There are all kinds of wheelchair cases based on the damage done to them through the vaccination. And so we're, in the name of preventing something, we're actually creating a lot of trouble. You know, a lot of the stronger vaccines have been previously deadened or killed off with mercury, which is not a pretty picture. That, you know, some people are unable to detoxify mercury and... you know, autism in young children is frequently caused by that. I mean, that's a very complicated topic. I don't want to simplify it to saying you get a flu shot or you get a vaccination shot that caused your child's autism. But frequently, it is the last straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, it's the total toxic load that causes people to finally break down. And this event frequently is the last thing that the parents will notice, that until the flu shot or until the vaccination shot, my child was talking, happy 24-month-old boy, and 2 months later he regressed, stopped talking, and became autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors are saying, well, that doesn't happen. You know, statistically, that's not possible. But it does happen. It does happen a lot. Yeah. And it happens to all the kids to whom this was the last straw that broke their back.
Right.
The immune system.
You had talked about the 1976 vaccination program, so I did a little in real time research, and it began in February 1976. An army recruit fell ill, died from a swine flu virus, yeah, thought to be similar to the 1918 strain, which of course killed millions and millions of people.
Yes.
So $137 million was spent on the program, which began in early October. So February to October, they're getting ready, and they appear to increase the risk of certain syndromes, a rare neurological condition that caused temporary paralysis but could be fatal.
Americans.
So 40 million Americans took the vaccine, almost 25% of the population, before it was halted in December after 10 weeks. More than 500 people were thought to have developed this syndrome after receiving the vaccine. 25 died. No one understands, you know, why or whatever, but they paid millions of dollars in damages to people or their families. And the pandemic that they were expecting to infect 50 to 60 million Americans never occurred. There were only about 200 cases of swine flu and one death. So basically 25 times more people died from the cure than from the cause.
Yeah, this reminds me of hunting a fly with a hammer.
Yeah.
Right?
I hunted a fly with a pencil once.
Uh-huh. Did you succeed?
Actually, it was really weird. I was in my office, and I was talking to this fellow, and we were both looking, and it was cool, so I think maybe the fly was kind of cold in the room, and it just buzzed around, and it landed on the side of my desk, and I was just sitting there, and I had my pencil up, and this fellow's looking at me, and I look at him, and I look at the fly, and I just, boom, hit the fly with my pencil, and it fell off my desk, and this guy's just shaking his head looking, right?
Yeah,
and
just like the karate kid picking out flies with chopsticks out of the air.
And the guy says lucky, just lucky, right?
Yeah, just lucky.
Just lucky.
And you would have said no. I studied under what was the teacher's name in the karate kid?
Mo Miyagi or something like that.
Well, the actor's name was Miyagi or something like that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. No, I'm talking about hunting flies with a hammer. You know, the fly is sitting on top of your glass coffee table, right?
Yeah.
And you can whack it with a hammer.
Yeah, good luck with that, right?
Well, that's the sort of thing that you do when you do a vaccination program with something that's the equivalent of a hammer. If you had an equivalent of a pencil, then you wouldn't break the coffee table. But if you have the equivalent of a hammer, you will.
Yeah, I'd have taken a big chunk out of my desk.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, what is the right thing to do? Well, of course, spend your money with Life Enthusiast Co-op. <Well, laughs> but really, honestly, alkalize, lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, healthy eating. Number two, get lecithin. Make it part of your everyday lifestyle. It's an important nutrient. There's not enough of it in your general nutrition. You know, eat alkalizing greens and wash your hands. Yes, wash your hands. Don't stick your hands in your eyes. Don't spit into other people's faces. Stuff like that, right?
Yeah. What you would say is normal, good hygiene. Practice.
Yes, regular good hygiene. Well, you know, this is not funny, but just the other day, I watched my wife ask for a new cup in a fast food joint. She was ordering a tea. Mm-hmm. And this kid reaches for the cup with his hand that we know was handling the money at the till just minutes earlier, right?
Yeah.
And so he's touching the rim of the cup, top down, and something fell on the inside of the cup. He beat his hand right into the cup. So my wife just puts her hand up and says, "I would like a different cup, please." And this time I handle it properly.
Right.
And truly,
people don't think.
Well, you know, you're not trained. Or even if you take the training, I don't know, you just don't get it. I mean,
food handlers should understand, and they should be constantly reminded.
Well, you know, the training wage kid that's in the joint, he doesn't really know.
No.
If his mom hasn't spent the time explaining it to him, or maybe his dad, but usually moms, he just won't know. It's just not in them.
No, that's true. And but you know, really. You know, basic things like wash your hands,
yep.
keep your place clean, wipe down your counters, your sinks.
Yeah.
All the rest of it is just, and it's not about being obsessive about it. It's about just making sure you're, you know, doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. So then the next thing is, if you find yourself in an emergency and you just, you know, it's too late now, saline, just basic salty water.
Hmm.
Works wonders. 1% solution. So that means one part salt, 99 parts water. So if you go 1 teaspoon of salt, then 99 teaspoons of water. Or five milliliters of salt and 95 milliliters of water. It's much more difficult to do it in imperial, but in metric it's dead easy.
Right.
You make the saline solution. I mean, if you have Himalayan salt on hand, you'll have the benefit of the, you know, good structured salt and a proper mineralization, but any salt will do. And start gargling with it and spraying it up into your sinuses.
And what happens when you do that?
What you're doing is you're washing the surfaces with the saline solution, 1%. That's the salinity of your tears. That's the natural salinity that your body needs. If you do that with just plain water, it burns.
Oh, interesting. Because I've done that. I put plain water in my eyes accidentally, and it's just like, oh. And, of course, because I have worn contacts in the past, and then you have saline in the contact, and then it goes in, and it's like, oh, it's nice.
Yeah, and the same thing as if you have ever, happens in swimming, you snort up some plain water from the pool and it burns, right?
Yeah.
But if you do that with saline, it doesn't. Anyway, it helps remove the debris and restore proper equilibrium.
Very cool.
And have a flu stop on hand. It won't help you trying to get it out of us. Order it and have it in your cupboard. The stock we have on hand will expire at the end of this year. You know, ours is good until December 2009.
Cool. All right. Well, Martin, that's been a very informative, very topical episode today. Thank you very much for sharing all that information. And if somebody wants to know more or talk to you specifically about some of their health issues, how could they get a hold of you?
As always, we're open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time. That's 11 to 11 on East Coast. And we're at 1-866-543-3388. The website is life-enthusiast.com, where you can also find a link to the podcasts, to our blog, and to our newsletters. We try to educate the public. The most fun section that I have on our website is called Health Education. You start there and you'll be entertained for days.
If not weeks and months.
Yes, if not that.
Great. Well, you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Mark Metella. We'll see you all next time, everybody.
Good day. We are Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thanks for listening.